Thessalonians chapter number 2. You'll stand reverence to the reading the Word of God. I am going to just look at, hopefully, going to try to get through the first 6 verses. I'm going to read the first 12, but I'll probably only preach through verse 6. For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. But even after that we had suffered before, and were shamefully entreated, as ye know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanliness, nor in guile. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time used we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is witness. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome, even as the apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto you, unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly, unblameable, we behaved ourselves among you that believe. As ye know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. May God add blessing to the reading of his word. You can be seated. Be ready. A modern church in modern times. Thessalonica, as we looked at for the last few weeks, is a church that Paul continuously lifted up and encouraged and gave, if you will, praise to, because of their ability to continue on in the work and of the Lord, and their labor in the Lord, and what they did to proclaim and to spread the gospel. And as you look at these 5 chapters, I'm going to give you a little outline right here, okay? Chapter 1 that we just finished up, we see model saints. Paul continuously praised them for who they are. And verse 3 is a good basis for that. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and the patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Model saints. Chapter 2, we find Paul talking about himself. And Paul and Silas, how they came to Thessalonica. And we find in chapter 2, a model steward. And that's what I'm going to preach on this morning. Chapter 3, we find a model servant. And he talks about Timothy. And verse 2 of chapter 3 is our basis. You following me? I'm trying to give you a little something to help you as you study. I was told this week that people have been reading where I'm going to be preaching. So I'm going to kind of give you a heads up where I'm going to go. Chapter 4, we find a model sanctification. Verse number 4 of chapter 4, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Chapter 4 is a model sanctification. And chapter 5, I called it model sobriety. Because if you read in verse 6 and in verse 8, he says to be sober, which means to know that the end is coming. Folks, let me tell you something. It's soon and very soon that Jesus is coming. Amen. You can say, well, preacher, I've heard that all of my life. Well, I hope your bags are packed, because it's not going to be soon till Jesus is coming. I'm just going to be straightforward with you. I believe, and I could be wrong, I'm not going to tell you that I'm 100% sure, but I will say I'm about 90% sure that I'm going to be called out, not carried out. Right. Amen? I believe it's a getting close. I believe that he's ready. I believe he's wanting his bride to come. Yesterday I asked Big E, I said, are you nervous? He said, not a bit. I said, you're not nervous about being married? He said, no, I've been wanting this for some time. I believe, and because listen, marriage between husband and wife is a picture of the mystery between Christ and the church. I don't believe he's nervous. I believe he's waiting with anticipation for the Father to say, come get his bride. Chapter 5, that's not what I'm preaching this morning. Chapter 5 is the sobriety, a model sobriety. Let's look, what do we do in being sober for the moment? But chapter 2 deals with Paul as a steward. Verse number 4, let's read it again. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. Paul said, we have been entrusted with the gospel, and so it's the gospel that we speak of. A steward, now this is my definition, come from my studies, but a steward is one who is responsible for managing the estate of one who is absent. Paul said, God gave me the gospel, and if God has given me the gospel, it's of the gospel that I speak. Amen? Now you listen this morning. Because I feel like I can feel my coattail burning this morning, all right? There's a lot of things that are going on around, and I believe that here's the joy of preaching through a book. Amen? If you read the verses I read, I can recall 3 times Paul said, you know, you know, you know. And what he was talking about is Thessalonica, you know us. In chapter 1, he said, Thessalonica, we know you, and we like what we know. In chapter 2, Paul said, now you know us, and we hope that you know what you know about us. Amen. In today's society, you can say amen at any time. In today's society, deceit runs rampant. There's a lot of lip service of what somebody may say that they are and may pretend that they might be. But the truth is found in the heart in verse 4. But God knows who trieth our hearts, what's on the inside. And Paul was coming to Thessalonica, and as he was writing them this letter, he said, you guys know exactly who we are, what we're about, and why we came to you, and you know it because you saw it, experienced it, and you heard of it while we were there with you. I'm glad we can know. Amen. Listen, if I were to die today, I don't care if people knew how much money I've got. I don't care if they know what my possessions are as far as this world goes. But when I leave this world, I want everybody that knows me to know that no longer am I in a world of sin and dealing with suffering. But I want them to know that Jesus was my Savior and my Lord and my Master. And I like who Jesus is. Paul said above all things, you know who we are. I believe chapter 2 can be divided into three areas. I got note takers, right? Raise your hand if you note taker. Got one or two. All right. Three areas for chapter 2. All right. Number one, I see Paul talking about a vindicated ministry. He was letting them know, I am who I am, and I will give you vindication for who I am. I believe number two, we won't get there today. He was a steward with a vibrant message. Verses 13 through 17 talk about what Paul did in his preaching. What he preached, how his preaching was received, and how it was rejected. Thirdly, he was a steward with a victorious mission. Verse number 20, for ye are our glory and joy. Paul said, didn't get to stay with you but for a little while. And then they run me out of town. But we sent young Timothy back with this letter to let you know, you're our glory and our joy. That seems like he might have, even if he was there for a little bit, achieved victory in his mission of starting a church. Amen. He talked about preaching the gospel and how that day he was able to tell the gospel, and some liked it, some didn't. Some were saved, some weren't. Some obeyed, some were disobedient. Some followed, some walked away. But he had a message that's vibrant and full of energy. Hey, listen, I don't know about you, but I'm glad what I've got to preach and tell the world about today is not and useless, but thank God I've got a message full of life today in the message of Jesus Christ, the good tidings of the gospel of God, that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, gave himself for us, loved us, and died for us, and was rose again victorious to give us victory over death, hell, and the grave. I'm not going to get anywhere this morning if I don't stop. But he also had a vindicated ministry. In these six verses that I read to you, verse 1, you know our entrance unto you. In verse number 4, he says, or verse number 5, as ye know, he says you knew who we were. Listen, it's very important for you and I to understand that we need to know who we are listening to. Amen. Because people today will tell you what they want you to hear so that they can get from you what they want from you, and they'll tell you whatever you want to hear so that they can get whatever they want. And Paul says in these verses, I came to you and I preached straight to you. I'm going to sum it up, all right? You can cut me off after this if you want to. I've still got some more to preach. But he said, I came to you and I told you straight. I encouraged you. I exhorted you. I preached the gospel to you, and I didn't do it to make man like me. I didn't do it so that you'd receive me. I did it so that I could please a God who saved me, called me, and wanted me to tell the good tidings of him. And he said, because of that, some liked it, some didn't like it, but bless God, God used it all.
Amen.
I'm glad today that as long as we stand on the truth, we'll have a vindicated ministry. And the world, some of them may like it and accept it and call on Jesus' name, but some of it will spurn it. Hey, listen, I believe there's even some people that call themselves Christians that don't like the truth. Amen? I got to get into this. Man, this is all introduction. I ain't even got any more. Verse number 1, for yourselves, brethren, know our entrance unto you, that it was not in vain. The word entrance means that he just simply, we came to you. As we came to you, you had understanding of our purpose. You had understanding of our plan. You knew what it was for. The first thing I want to talk to you about, as Paul dealt with them, he talked about his past pain. He said in verse 2, we came to you even after that we had suffered before. Let me stop right here. Go to Acts chapter 16. You don't have to turn there right now. Write this down. Acts chapter 16. Believe it's in verse 12. Maybe verse 14. All the way down through verse 40. You know the story. Paul and Silas are at Philippi. There's a little damsel there. And that little damsel, she's got a demon inside of her. And she can tell fortunes. And these men are making money off of her. Then Paul comes on her and Silas comes on her. They pray over her, they lay hands on her. The demons left. When the demons leave, so does the prophet from the ungodly. Say amen about that. When darkness leaves, profitability from the evil leaves with it. Glory, hallelujah. He's called us out of our darkness and put us into His marvelous light. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank God for it. And so Paul and Silas come, those men who were making money off of this little damsel, are you with me? They come and they take hold of them. They throw them in jail. They beat them to the point of death. They're almost to leave out of this world. And somewhere in the darkness of the night, one of them says, hey, let's just sing about Jesus. And so instead of just being torn up about what they've been through, they begin to worship. I don't know what they sung. Maybe victory in Jesus. Maybe just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. In the darkness of the night when I'm wounded and afflicted and I need help, I'll sing that little hymn to myself and it'll help me. Don't it you? Maybe it was Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. He could have sung. He set me free. He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm going about my Jesus to see. Hallelujah. He set me free. I don't know what they begin to sing, but it shook the whole prison.
Yeah.
I've preached Acts 16. We know that they were in the darkest, deepest part of that dungeon prison. And as they began to sing, Bible says the earthquake and the prison bars flew open. And when they flew open, they were able to get out. And the prison guard, the jailer, he went to take his own life. And Paul said, son, don't do that. Look around. We're all still here. The jailer said, what's going on? I'm summarizing it. Paul said, Jesus is what's happening. Began to tell him the story of the gospel. That Philippian jailer asked the Lord to save him. And those boys were set free. That's what he was talking about in verse 2. Now notice what he said. We came after we had suffered before. There's a lot of people, Christian people, sitting at home this morning because they've suffered before and they won't come after.
Amen.
Amen? Difficulties come and they get bootlipped at God, cross their arms, sat down, and won't come back and do what God has called them to do. The words here that Paul uses in this scripture when he says that it was not in vain, but even after we had suffered before. He said, we came to you because we know we were beaten in Philippi, but it wasn't in vain. If Paul hadn't touched the damsel, if God hadn't released the demon, and if they hadn't been thrown in jail, that jailer probably would have died, and the Bible says his whole house got saved. Glory! I'm glad it's not in vain. The word vain in the Greek, is that right? I don't give you the Greek words because I embarrass myself trying to say it. But the Greek word there means devoid of truth. That it's useless and pointless and truthless. Paul said, it's not in vain what we have done in you. What we've suffered is not in vain. Our successes are not in vain. But God has used it all to bring us to Thessalonica right now so that we can preach the same truth to you. We suffered before and we came after. Verse number 2. He says we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel. The word speak doesn't mean necessarily that he preached. When you see it in these six verses that I read to you, when you see the word speak, it simply is the meaning of the word means to use words in order to declare one's mind and to disclose one's thoughts. Paul simply said, when we come into your midst, we told you why we were here. What would it be for us today to wherever we went in people's midst that we went to tell them why we're on this earth? Let me tell you something this morning. You're not here on this earth to make money. Even though it takes money to make a living. Amen? I mean, listen, I had to buy half a gallon of... half a gallon of gasoline. Had to buy half a gallon of milk this morning because we had drunk it all. I mean, I'm beginning to think it'd be cheaper to feed a cow milk than it would be to go to the store. But we bought half a gallon of milk this morning. $3.37 where I bought half a gallon. I remember when you could buy a whole gallon of this. Don't anybody else say, yeah, I do too. Because I know that it's not always been that way. It takes money, but you're not here to make money. You're not here to please your boss at your job. You're not here so that you can enjoy the things of this world. Now, there's nothing wrong with that stuff until it takes the place of an almighty God. But you know why you're here on this planet? Do you know why God put breath in your lungs, a beat in your heart, and sense in your mind? It's so that you can go around letting your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your God which is in heaven. If you're having things in prosperity, tell people about Jesus. If you're gospel of God down to you. Okay? Number one, he uses the definite article the. The gospel of God. Church, You hear me very closely. There's only one gospel. There's not any other way but the way, and the way is through Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ gave us the example. You listening? You with me? If any man will, let him take up his cross daily, deny himself, and follow me. Following Jesus is not a following in prosperity. He didn't have a place to lay his head, had no pillow to lay his head on. Hey, listen, but God still used him. Going by way of Jesus is going by way of the cross. If you're not willing to go by way of the cross, you can't go. Amen. You have to be willing to follow the footsteps of Jesus Christ. Paul said to Rome, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice unto God, holy, acceptable, which is your reasonable, expected, understood, it should be service. Your stewards. Paul said, the gospel. The word gospel simply means glad tidings, good news. Of, about, God. Theos. The supreme being. You gonna tell me good news? I don't want good news from Washington. I don't want good news from Raleigh. I don't want good news from Bakersfield. The only good news that'll help us is the good news from a country in which I'm headed. A stranger and a pilgrim in this world, headed home, looking for home, and there is King Jesus sitting on the throne of the universe. Hallelujah! I want the good news and the glad tidings of the supreme God of all. Amen.
Amen.
Paul said, I spoke boldly to you, the gospel of God, with much contention, with much struggle. Let me tell you something. I'm glad God's showing up this morning. He's helping you, He's helping me. Because let me tell you what happened. I fought hell all week, didn't you? Every time I turned around, it seemed like the devil's trying to trick me. I'll just be honest with you. Wednesday night, when I went home, I was willing to get up Thursday morning and start putting in applications. I was so discouraged when I went home Wednesday night, you wouldn't even believe the thoughts that were going through my head. But let me tell you something tonight. I'm glad that when we work through the struggle, press on and walk. You said, preacher, you preached on hope and being hopeful. I know. And I left here just as discouraged as if I'd lost both my legs and one of my arms and didn't have to be able to get home. I mean, I was in a bad shape Wednesday night. But I'm glad that press on. About that he has a present purpose. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanliness, nor in guile. He said our exhortation, which means our calling, calling, our summonsing, our encouragement, the comfort that we brought to you when we exhorted you. He says, for our exhortation was not of. The word of means that it did not come out of. It was not from. And then he lists. He said, listen, our purpose was not to be deceitful. The Greek word there for deceit means to be wandering or straying about. And it means that one has led, been led astray, and now is roaming. I'm glad, aren't you, that the gospel doesn't just lead us out from where we were and let us go. Paul said, we didn't come to deceive you. Only thing I know to do right now, the burden that's on my heart is we need to pray for those that have been deceived, for their eyes to be opened. Some of them inside of our church. Paul said, I want you to know that my comfort, those words, now you've got to put this in its context. Paul said, every word of encouragement, every word of comfort did not come out of a desire to lead you astray and leave you roaming, hopeless, and helpless. Thank God for a purpose in helping people find a way. Amen. Mount Carmel, every message that's preached, every song that's sung, every Sunday school lesson that's taught, every Bible school that's held, every revival that is talked about should be for the purpose. You, not to leave you astray and to let you be left from it, but to show you the way. I'm glad for some old men of God through my life who've showed me the way, who've not just brought me out and left me lonely, but they showed me. Some of them, you will never know how much I love Jay Orr, that old man of God. Many times at the beginning of my ministry, I wanted to quit. Our comfort, our admonition, our encouragement was not in to deceive you, nor in uncleanliness. Now that word uncleanliness means physical cleanliness, but it also means in a moral sense the impurity of lustful, luxurious, reckless, extravagant, and wasteful living in the use of your resources. 1 Corinthians, I meant to tell you this at the beginning. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Paul tells the Corinthian church that above all things, a steward must be found faithful. What I was going to say at the beginning, now I'm going to say at the end, okay? But I ain't there yet. Paul said, I didn't come to deceive you, lead you astray, and leave you to be roaming. And I didn't come to lead you down a path that would morally and ruin you and bring you to a place that was full of lust and reckless living. We as God's people need to understand that God does not, will not take and care for uncleanliness, nor in the sense of immorality. And God will never lead us down a path. This word will never lead us down a path of immorality, reckless endangerment of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You, Christian, are a steward. You are. It is your responsibility to carry the gospel. God will never lead you through any preacher
any denomination, any version of the scripture. He will never lead you through anything or to anything that will take you away from who God is in His holiness and in His righteousness. I read a quote by Charles Spurgeon the other day and I loved it. And he said, if it does not glorify and magnify, this is me summing it up, if it does not glorify and magnify Christ, then it should not bring you pleasure and excite you. God will never, through any way of His Word, lead us to a place that will lead us opposite of who He is. Paul said, I'm a model steward. I've got a painful past. He said, I have got a purposeful present. And then lastly this morning in verses 5 and 6, I want to say also that he had some powerful preaching. Verse 5, but listen. Well, let me go back to this, verse 4. I skipped verse 4, didn't I? We were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. You understand this morning?
Did it when I came to you. I came to you, and we did not speak utterance. We did not use our words to please men, but to please God who tries our hearts. I'm not going to get to verse 6. I'm going to stop right here. The word pleasing means to strive to please. Listen to this. Don't shut me off yet. It means to accommodate oneself to the opinions, desires, and interests of others. Paul said, we didn't come and preach to make ourselves be like to you and to change who God made us so that we could please you. But we came to please God because God knows their heart. Christian, this morning I want you to listen to me very closely.
in my ministry, I have found that there are people that claim to be Christians, and here is what I call them. I call them chameleon Christians. They change with their surroundings. If they're around a crowd that's liberal, then they speak liberally. If they're around a crowd that's legalist, then they all of a sudden are legalists. But they change with the people that they are around. They do things to accommodate others and to please men, but not to please God. There are those in our society who come to church to please mom and daddy. I've been there. Haven't you? They'll sit in Sunday school to make sure that everybody thinks they're in Sunday school. But Paul said, I want you to know this. I didn't try to accommodate man. I didn't try to please man. I came and I used my voice to please God, because God knows the motives of my message. He knows the motives of my heart, and He knows why I preach what I preach. And basically what Paul said, I didn't preach to make you mad, but I didn't preach to keep to win you over either. I preach to please an almighty God. Listen to me, steward of the gospel. You and I need to be more Christ-like Christians and not chameleon Christians. We need to be like Christ every day. And we don't need to be like society when society changes. We were talking yesterday about how culture changes. When I was a senior in high school, I didn't have a stitch of hair on my face. I shaved it all just as clean as I could. And I shaved every single day. Anybody that knows me knows that that's a miracle of God in itself. But I did. I shaved every single day. My hair was long like mold off the three stooges. It was down about my eyebrows, and then it was down around the tops of my ears. But if you lifted the flap up, it was shaved about here down so that it would be cool when I run. Kind of give me some wind flaps, you know what I'm saying? And I thought that was fitting for the culture at the time. About 4 or 5 years later, don't laugh, some of y'all had bangs that stood that high off the head. Hair so big as that here around. But listen. We do, they're called boot cut pants. They just ain't that big around the body. We don't have big bushy sideburns like Elvis, unless you're some of us. Because yeah, Tyler had some a while back and he stuck 3 inches upside his head. But culture changes, doesn't it? And as culture changes, we change, don't we? You can walk into a suit store right now and ask for a double-breasted suit, and I could have bought one at Men's Warehouse for $75, but it was a 46 cup and a 52 pants. And I said, why don't they make them? He said, because society doesn't want them, so people don't make them like they used to. Culture changes. Culture changes. Christ never changed. And when you follow Christ in His footsteps, whether you're with a crowd that loves Jesus or don't love Jesus, you'll always be right. Amen? Amen. If you'll stay within the bounds of your Holy Scripture that you hold in your lap this morning, and if you'll read it daily, and if you'll get passionate about it and love it, then let me tell you something. You'll learn how to walk like Jesus. And I'm not very good at it. But if you'll come to church on Sunday morning, you'll learn about how to be ready at 1 Thessalonians. If you're going through difficulty, if you'll come back on Sunday night, and not tonight because we've got a deacon ordination, but if you'll come back on Sunday night, and you need to be here tonight for this anyway, then you'll learn how to be hopeful in the midst of suffering. If you want to know what it's like to be a Christian, I'm trying my best to expound on that through the sermons I'm preaching on Wednesday night, on I Am, and being that I am a Christian, and defining what that means. You hear what I'm saying? you'll get passionate about it and be a good steward. Listen, there's two characteristics that define a steward. I'm done. Miss Nikki, if you'll come forward. Two characteristics that will define a steward. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. A steward must be found faithful. Faithful. A steward is one who takes the possessions of another. A steward has nothing of his own, but he's got everything of the master's. Chew on that for just a little bit. That'll excite you. A steward has nothing of his own, but he's got everything of the master's. And the master desires for him to be faithful with it. You and I, as God's people, need to be faithful to the gospel and faithful with the gospel. Steward, are you found faithful this morning? Verse 4 says, God trieth our hearts. The word heart, there's the word cardia. It means the center of our physical life, and it also is the center of our emotional and spiritual being. God knows our heart, physically and spiritually. He knows our heart. Are we faithful? Number 2, a steward ought to be fruitful. When the master leaves and he leaves his possessions or his treasures with the steward, he wants the steward to be fruitful with it. You know the story where the man left and he came back, and there had been one who had took his talents and he multiplied them. The second one doubled them, but the third one hid his. His talent was taken and given somewhere else. Why? He was unfruitful and unfaithful. As a steward, God wants us to be faithful and fruitful.